But after they first put that in, the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and Communities were able to go back and have the statute changed and say, hey, if a community doesn't take all that growth money and sort of leaves it on the table, but in the future, in the near future, decides they need it, they've set some methods where you can go back and reclaim that ability to add those taxes back. So, for example, last year, I think we had just over $110,000, I want to say, of taxes that we could have absorbed from new development that had occurred. And the Common Council was able to find a budget that didn't require that to happen. But if, with this year's situation, determines, well, we haven't found another way to do it, there aren't other services we want to cut, we want to go back and get some of that 110. We want to make sure you understand sort of the rules and parameters to do that. And when I say directly and indirectly, there's a specific statute that allows you to go back. But also on the debt service side, there are some different authorizations that you could add some property tax levy there that the city hasn't historically taken advantage of either. So we want to make sure you're aware of that. Not that that's the only solution. Obviously, we wouldn't have gotten through five budgets the way we did thinking that that's the first solution. I think we're probably one of the few communities, if not the only one, that has managed to do 5 years without a dollar of property tax increase. But you need to, as policymakers, understand what your options are so you can decide moving forward in 2018 if that's one of the options you want to take advantage of. And since it's complex, I think beginning that discussion earlier so that you understand how it can play into the process when you get to the budget in September is probably valuable.
I just have a question. And do you know off the top of your head the statute for that to look back on?
I don't have the number, but I bet Paul probably does.
660603.
Thank you.
And then boards and commission assignment. We'd look to charge the library board with indicating how they would look to address the structural deficit if it's something that the general city finances can provide additional resources to. Have the personnel committee look at the health insurance changes and potential for employee benefit changes that may come into play. Finance committee look at the borrowing plan and use of landfill siting fees, and any other items as the mayor or council may direct. The heading says boards and commissions, but I'll note that you can bet department heads, as they normally do this time of year, as they're beginning to pull their budgets together, will be addressing potential for service cuts or efficiencies that they can do that can reduce costs or alternatives for enhanced revenues. So,
I don't know.
On the library board structural deficit, wasn't the majority of that cost from the changes to the wages?
Not really, because they had the structural deficit before that went into place, and they were provided some additional funding. So is it part of the issue? Yes. But the city's operating budget had the same issue, and the city's operating budget is having to figure out how to work within the same fiscal constraints as you've done with each of your budgets. So I think I since the library board controls how their expenses are laid out once you give them the money, I would expect this council would want to know that they've gone through the same due diligence on their budget that I anticipate the department heads, the mayor, and you will on the budgets that you control. So,
well, the library board had wanted to meet at a committee of the whole meeting with the council because they sort of disagree on this deficit number. So I just wanted to let you know that I don't know if we're going to do that joint meeting, but maybe you and I could sit down with, you know, a member of the board or something and discuss what their concerns are on how that's being presented, because they don't necessarily agree with that. So.
I understand that. Whether or not there's a disagreement on what portions of their expenditures are the ones to consider setting them up for the current issue. The problem, the bottom line is they have a deficit in their budget that needs to be addressed. And so absent, if the strategy presented here for early engagement in the 2018 budget development process is acceptable, then all that's really needed today is a motion to receive and file the report. And we'll look to put some items on the July meeting for discussion unless you set a special meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Taylor.
You want to turn the lights on? Are we done with the slideshow? We're done with the slideshow? Okay. I'm just going to say a few things because I'm going to have very little involvement in this budget. And I'm probably telling you right now, before the mayor puts in all the hard work, I'm going to be a no. Because I'm sick and tired of being the only one taking political hits. Because I take it every time at the courthouse. I'm the only one that constantly, at meetings here, has talked about what really goes on in Madison. I mean, we have been pinched so hard by the party in power, which is my party, okay? But no one here wants to actually talk about it. No one wants to write, well, then I want to see a letter to the governor saying, quit screwing the city of Franklin and all the suburbs. I'm sick and tired of it. I go down to the county board meetings and talk and stand up, and I have Ask Me members give me standing ovations, which is not politically popular because I'm actually talking about what's gone on. They have taken our shared revenue away. They have taken our transportation dollars away. They have played around with hotel tax. Now you have the personal property tax that's eventually going to hit us. Okay, these are all things. And you know where it started? It started when they did redistricting and they gerrymandered this entire state, and put one party in a superpower position where there's no more moderates in Madison, no moderate Democrats, no moderate Republicans. It is far right and far left, and 65-35 in the assembly. There is no moderation anymore to try to look at what's happening at our level. So what's going on is they're running for re-election constantly, the party in power, on balancing the budget. We know how they're balancing the budget? On the counties and the cities. And I have made that speech here so many times. We have a state representative that sat at the end chair for 9 years, who is I consider a friend of mine, friend of yours, Your Honor, that...
Maybe not so much more.
That has gone into caucus and come out and voted against the best interest of this city. The city he's lived for, I don't know how many, 50 years plus? Okay, so this budget is going to be crap. It's going to be garbage. It's going to be a horrible budget. And I'm not going to take another hit trying to find ways of zeroing the levy and cutting here and cutting there, because we shouldn't be forced to do this anymore. Okay, they have screwed us time and time again in Madison. So, Your Honor, you could probably count me for a no if there's an increase, because I'm not going to be on the ballot next April, because I'm the only one on a ballot next April, having my opponent saying I'm for property tax increases. All right? So I'll probably be here. Maybe I'll be writing my memoirs or something like that, but I'm not going to come up with anything creative to try to help. So the five of you, Mike's not here, are on your own, or six with the mayor, because until people actually say what I just said, and that's not politically popular. My party's not, they're not very fans of me right now because I constantly call out what's going on. And you think it's bad? It is. The Supreme Court is going to rule on the redistricting in the state of Wisconsin. Because something was done not right. When you take a look at the city of Franklin, and if the clerk was here, how many, we got like, I think, six ballots added to the election because of the little carve job that they did in Franklin to benefit Mark Honadell. But not just Mark Honadell, Joe Fadness, who worked for Scott Walker, who then wanted Jeff Stone's job. And who do they carve out of Alderman now represents Skronsky's district or Jeff Stone's district? Was me. Because who was the guy that was going to run after Jeff? This guy. And they carved me out because Joe Fadness wanted his job. It was told to me flat out. And that's the kind of stuff that's gone on throughout this entire state, why you have the numbers the way they are. So this is my soapbox speech, because I'm not going to sit here and deal with a budget that's going to be a disaster.
Too bad the reporter left the room.
Well, because that's what we have now. It's terrible. It's terrible. People need to take out. I've sent enough emails to people in Madison, and like I said, I'm not well liked anymore by the party that I grew up in. That's not the party that exists today. I'm a my guy. If you come to the courthouse, Mayor Olson, who's in my office? George H.W. Bush, a guy that worked across party lines, tried to get things done. You don't see that anymore. It's who has the numbers, and the numbers do not favor communities like ours. Who votes for the party in power?
But the larger problem is those who are paid to represent us don't. They represent the town of Waterford.
Yeah.
There's a second vote for the town of Waterford because they do what they're told.
Yeah.
Alderman Mayor.
I don't disagree with anything you said, but you're preaching to the choir here.
Well, then, give that speech during the budget time when you vote for a tax increase so the reporters will actually, that will be here covering the budget, will actually put it in writing.
But I will vote on a budget one way or another, up or down, because that's still our job.
Well, I will, too. I just told you where I'm at.
Okay. Since we got political, I could do what you do, but sitting in this chair, I'm supposed to be.
Well, right, exactly. So, but you still have the power of the pen. And you can write the governor, you know, as he's getting $1.5 million from Donald Trump coming into the state.
Last week, I stood out in the parking lot of the library with our state senator and one of our state representatives and just berated them. And one of them had no clue what I was talking about. And it was the dark store legislation. Which,
I know.
That's, anyway. Is there a motion to receive and place on file?
So moved.
Second.
I already did.
Oh,
I interrupted that.
He got me off.
I thought we were putting the speech on.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, motion carries. So the last topic, Chief, where are you guys going? But we need somebody that knows how to do CPR.
Remember that in your
book? Chief's right here.
I know. Can you check my blood pressure? Can you collect somebody my blood pressure, please?
So the fire chiefs are leaving, and they're part and parcel of the following conversation. Our calls for service, both in police and fire, continue to go up. And Chief Oliva, for years, has applied for COPS grants and looked to us to help him out with additional bodies. Chief Remington is going to talk to us about staffing his fire stations and what we do there. It ties into the conversation. As you remember, there was a bullet point there about referendums. Chief Remington and I are discussing how many men or women does he need to provide service for the calls of service that he's getting and to do it appropriately. It's 6 or 9 or 11 people for fully staffing the fire department. Chief Oliva, he's short detectives and he's short a couple of patrol officers. How can he continue? You all get the calls for traffic enforcement? Unbelievable. Chief talks to me about creative ideas all the time. Should we do community service officers? Or should we do, and he and I, well, I told him, no, we'll do police officers. We won't do community service officers. But, Chief, you want to join us, an opportunity came by for another COPS grant a couple of weeks ago. Chief was not excited about applying for it, frankly, because the last time we applied for it and received it, we turned it down. It was what, 2 years ago?
About 3.
3 years ago?
Yeah.
Because we didn't have the supporting money to pay.
I think it was longer than that.
It was longer than that.
Well, I was mayor at the time, but
I wasn't here for that. So it's
lucky you.
Well,
so the reason the chief's here today, and thanks for staying late. There's an inside joke there. Is that the COPS grant has once again come around, and the chief and I have talked about it, and I was not comfortable and out of hand saying don't apply for it because, as you all saw, in my view, we don't have the money. But we need to do something. And we did turn down that last COPS grant, but the chief needs his men and women to do the job.
I think we should just make a motion.
Motion. Yeah, do it.
So
second.
Before you do that, I mean, understand that there's a backside on this. If you if you apply for it and don't accept it, that's another black mark against us for the next time. So just so you understand.
Let's do it.
I just, you know.
You got a motion, I got a second. Yep. There you go.
To
approve.
Approve applying.
To apply for the grant.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, I'll proceed.
We have vote. We have vote on it yet.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Now you can proceed.
Now you can proceed.
Hey, Chief, go home.
I don't know. I guess you could run for another item.
No, I don't have anything more. I mean, well, do I?
On that item, I'm going to call you tomorrow on that next item.
Okay.
Okay. Item G12, consideration of an award for bid for the historical barn reconstruction at Lyons Legends Park. Mr. Liberta. And
I get
Mr. Lucky's. Wait, hold on. Mr. Lucky's asked to speak too.
Oh, okay. I was going to make a motion.
I was going to second it.
Yeah. I mean, Your Honor, I want to make a, I mean, you know, it's been a long time.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to make option one, motion to direct staff to prepare the necessary budget modification ordinance on city participation and public construction for the footings.
Second that.
Okay. As I told Mr. Lucky, and I don't do anything behind closed doors, mm-hmm. especially with the work here. If you look at the dollars that are needed to complete the project, they're almost double what's the current and the 38 grand. They're almost double what's going to be available.
Yep, I understand.
The if you put the foundation in, there's a risk that the foundation will break up, frost heaves and all of that. There's a political thing there with the foundation being in the ground and nothing following it. It's your decision. But I would say let's help the Historical Society raise some money. I personally would not put the foundation.
I believe there's a plan for that, though. Correct? Am I right, Mr. Lucky?
Yeah.
You want to just, I mean.
Mr. Lucky.
Sure.
Okay.
Please.
Talk about this. Okay, the first objection you have. Let me ask you, what I'm asking the council to is accept a foundation bid from C.W. Schmidt for $29,684, which I believe to be a very good bid. I was here for the bid let, and I was hoping to get something under $30,000, and we did. So that is something I feel is proper. The bid for the building by the same company was $157,960. And absolutely, yes, that's way beyond what we can afford, but it's also way, way, way beyond what it should cost. Now, let's go back to before this really became city budget. I know I have to be careful when I'm talking about anything about bids, you know, legally. But there was a point in time where it was my responsibility and Historical Society's responsibility to find the funding and find somebody to come in and do this. And I was told at that time by a number of professionals in construction, Mark Arndt, our architect, being one, that the building cost should fall somewhere between about $80,000 and $100,000. So you could see the huge discrepancy between the bid. I believe this bid was just something that was thrown out there because it was just get as much as we possibly can. And if we're foolish enough to accept something like this, we'll make a huge fall. Now, again, going back to the point where I was trying to find bids, I found a contractor that gave me a written estimate of $85,000. This is a realistic figure. And this contractor is now willing, if we go out with bids again, to bid. And we'll probably find, I don't know this for a fact, but we'll probably find out that bid will come in somewhere in that area. Now, I'm offering to the city, we've already put $52,000 in here. I made our financial arrangements to get another $38,000 to push it to $90,000. Now, the foundation is going to be covered. Going back to our capital project agreement of July of 2016, the city was going to put $20,000 in there, and you have also approved Public Works help in doing that. Now, we found out that the complexity of this foundation, that this $20,000 was not going to cover it. So the bid came in for this $29,000, and the Franklin Historical Society is prepared to pay that extra $9,684 to cover the foundation. That gets the foundation in. Now, I just said that I expect a bid of about $85,000, and the city's going to have $90,000. Now, that's still not enough, because the Franklin Historical Society has to buy a lot of product here. It's not complete. We have a lot of the hardware. We have a lot of from taking the barn down. We got $10,000 worth of tongue and groove floorboards that we need. But we may have to spend another $10,000, $15,000 on materials. So we are short. But the point being is if we go back to December, where we had a groundbreaking ceremony, Alderman Taylor, you were there. We got some good publicity for that, and $10,000 came our way. Now, we've got a plan to have a major fundraiser up at the Rock, which if we have a foundation going forward, I am absolutely convinced it's going to be a very, very successful fundraiser. But we got to have something to sell. We just can't sit there where we've been sitting on our hands for all this time and not getting any done. Nobody's going to give money to something like that. Now, there are concerns about safety. You mentioned a couple different things. We can fence things in. Now, this is not a hole in the ground. This is a level cement surface, okay? We could put up a fence. The only concerns are the bolts that are coming up through the cement, that if somebody leaps the fence, some kids or something like that. But it's a common practice in construction that they put these plastic covers over them, okay? And we were granted help from Public Works, and I'm sure if I get some help from Jerry Schaefer, we could come up with some other ideas to make that as safe as possible. So I really feel this is safe. Now, this potential bidder is also available to do this work this year. So there's not going to be this big gap that you're worried about the winter months with the foundation cracking or anything like that. We're going to help out with insurance coverage on this and some liabilities from ours. But the bottom line is we have enough money. You're going to have to get this $157,000 out of your head because it's just flat, you're ridiculous.
We agree with that, Jim. We agree about that.
Okay. I had my say, but I believe every word I said. And it's get done. And the Franklin Historical Society has worked hard on this. There's good people of Franklin have done this. This is going to be a real benefit to the city. We're donating it to the city. Put some trust in us. We're going to do this. Don't believe that 157.
Well, that's why there's a motion and a second.
Motion's been made.
Yeah.
Mr. Roberta.
I just do want to add, and I'm not the city attorney. He may know this better than me, but we should anticipate that there may be some need for caution in how we would move forward with other biddings because the public construction bidding laws are very straightforward, and if you just deny bids to go get one that you've prearranged outside the process could be problematic. So there may be some extra steps we need to go through. We may have to figure out how to rework the bid because one of the things in the guidelines from the Attorney General is what to do when you don't have successful bids. So although Mr. Luckey's suggested a strategy and even a solution, we do want to take very careful steps to make sure we don't do anything that has any hint of being in violation of the public construction laws. And that may take a little bit of time to make sure we do right. So, and to do that and then bid it and build it all this year might be pushing it, but if everything else he says is true, maybe you could do it in the spring. But I just want to put a little bit of caution that there's public construction laws that we need to be very careful that we don't violate.
And hence my perspective on all this. It's got to have a different than being an alderman, as we talked about on a couple of occasions. Also, what you may or may not know is Jerry Schaefer is not working currently. And his return is... So we're running short. Anyway, okay. There's a motion on the floor to do option one. All those in favor of option one signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Motion. We need motion two then? To reject or no? Or that's all bids, right? So we just one and done?
No, what we'll do then for the next meeting, we'll bring in the two other pieces we need.
Okay.
And we'll bring in the bids and you'll address
okay.
the
bids. Yep.
Thanks, Jim.
Perfect.
Thanks, Doug.
All right.
Item G13 is an authorization to execute.
So move.
Second.
You got background in
this? Yeah. Yeah, no, this, yeah.
All I those got, in favor, signify by saying aye.
That's rhetorical, right?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Question.
Well, let's do this again.
I just wondered if usually we use some black grant money for the senior programs. We're not doing that.
That's next. Time.
That's next.
Okay.
All those in
this
favor.
This is just the cooperation agreement. It's
okay.
Three-year.
I do have it. G14 is next.
G13. Sure. All those in favor fast. Signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. G14, suggested projects. Mr. Liberta. Well, they're here in front of you, so.
We haven't actually received official notice from the county, but she referenced at the last ICC meeting, that's Victoria with the county who runs it, that they're going to be getting that notice out. So we wanted to get word to you as soon as possible to remind you that it is that time of the year. They're going to have a very short deadline. And we've identified what the projects we normally do. We did make sure they fixed the cooperation agreement so that we would be able to use money toward the home repair grants that we did 2 years ago that was successful. And then to Alderwoman Wilhelm's question, no, a number of years ago, CDBG funded for the two different senior programs were discontinued because it did not meet federal. Potentially did not meet federal guidelines.
Don't you remember the sign up that shows your ID? And
I do.
Okay. Either table or move forward on page 136.
I'll move to the table until what you said, the applications come in. Does that do what you need it to do?
Yeah, either way.
You're putting a lot on July 18th.
We're effectively leaving it open a month. A similar council action sheet will come back unless people come up with different programs. We'll try to think of some well. But absent any additional programs, you'll get sort of the similar one back, which is fine.
I mean, the reason why I wouldn't support tabling this is we've really been beat our heads against the wall the last few years of trying to find creative ways to request money from the county. I mean, we've done all the sidewalks we can. We did 51st Street.
Oh, I'm sure we could find.
Yeah, we did 51st Street up all the way, you know, and by the high school and towards Ross, and we did the sidewalks on College. There's limited opportunities for the city based on our, you know, status, I guess, economic status. We can do this, but unless people have some grand ideas, we're going to have to vote on this. And
yeah, I don't think it will hurt to,
sure.
to leave it open the month in case things come up.
Right,
you
but
can still work on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. But
well, Alderman Taylor, I have a question for you if you want to answer it. You know, we've seen the success of Kayla's Playground. That helps kids.
Sure.
But it's certainly because I'm getting older, thinking that a good addition to that playground would be equipment for seniors.
If we want to try to be creative, I mean, I am chairman of economic development and can maybe, you know. So that's actually a good idea, Your Honor.
Hey, a flying squirrel.
Yeah, well, why not? I mean, so maybe I agree with the motion then, and let's come up with something creative and see if we can do something that...
Alderman,
I have a question. We're talking about sidewalks. I've been talking to Glenn for quite a while about sidewalks on Church Street. Would that qualify?
No.
Why not? Every other sidewalk does.
Now, the feds have been very clear in tightening down. You have to your census tract needs to qualify with the right amount of moderate to low income. And about the only one we have in Franklin that meets that standard is the one we recently put. That's why we were able to do them there without doing all the extensive surveying that we thought we were going to have to do to prove it. So they have a sort of a website now where you can go to and figure out. And outside of that, the sidewalks aren't likely to
okay. qualify. Just wanted to throw it out there because we've been talking about it for a while. Even with the taverns and the churches, it's still...
The motion is to table. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Second
of
that?
Yeah.
Did you second this?
I think I did.
Yeah. Who wants to second that? Item G15, update on City Hall remodeling project. Here's a little bit of good news for us.
Motion to receive and place on file.
Second.
So we'll move forward. Thank you.
Looks good. I read it. Don't need another presentation. It was good.
Can you pronounce the name of the consulting engineer?
Not the top of my head, but I read it yesterday.
We
so.
Did item G16. We move on to G17. A request. What? Place on file. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Justin. Item G17, a request to purchase an enterprise license for the Business Journal. The dollars would come out of general fund contingency.
The reason why I wanted this is there were several locked Business Journal articles. One of them was something like 15 businesses looking to expand in Southeast Wisconsin, but you couldn't access it. So if we're looking to read up on economic development, I thought we should have some type of access to it. So we have some access, but I couldn't get a shared password from the city's point of view. And maybe, Ms. Roberta, you can explain why
I couldn't.
I'll second it.
I'll second if you made the motion.
All right, I'll make the
okay,
motion.
Okay, so Alderman Taylor.
Your Honor, there's no way I'm going to support this for a couple reasons. Number one, we just had a budget presentation of how disastrous this next year is going to be. All right, number one. Number two, if you take a look, like, are you going to do a better job by reading the Business Journal as an alderman? Are you going to be more effective as an alderman?
Yes.
Because I have the floor.
We've been doing real good for about 3 months. Let's continue that.
Are you going to do a better job as an alderman reading the Business Journal? Let me tell you something. If you are, if you really believe that, it's $110 a year. We make $9,000 as aldermen. We're the second highest paid alderman in Milwaukee County. That dollar amount has been there since 1998 or 1999. Okay, we get a salary, we get expenses. Whether we spend it on things or not, that's what we make. So if individually somebody wants to pay to read a newspaper, they have that right, but it should not be at the expense of the taxpayers, not with like a budget that we just saw there. Secondly, let me tell you about the Business Journal. Mark Cass lives in Franklin. I spent last week on the phone ripping him a new one for a half an hour because of an editorial that he wrote having no clue about Ballpark Commons that I told him it was lazy reporting and garbage. So there's a lot of opinionated information in this, and yes, there are some locked articles, but if you actually think that the taxpayers should pay for you to have your own subscription, I mean, $850... If all six of us actually bought it ourselves, that's only $660. Well, I'm not going to buy it. So I think this is not good at all. We don't take money for conferences to the League of Municipalities and like other municipalities do. We've done a really good job of having tight budgets. This is going in the opposite direction to spend that money. If someone wants to read it, an article, and the reality is they're reporting on things that we should know as elected officials. So I'm voting no.
Alderman Willem.
Well, that's my point. You know, as elected officials, we have very little access to this type of information. I had asked the simple solution was, why can't I come in here and access the city computer? What are we paying for economic development to have this already in planning? They already have this. What did we pay last year?
We do use it for our subscription, and a couple of employees may be sharing a password that is maybe more extensive than
so the question is, what are we paying for that?
I believe you said the
$110 and $140 if you want to get 52 issues sent to you by mail.
I think I have the floor. So
you interrupted me.
We're paying a standard subscription rate,
which is no one knows.
$140.
It's $110 or $140 if you actually want a hard copy mailed to you. The digital online is a little bit.
I'm sorry, the information that I got is not exactly matching up the exact same of what I'm getting from Alderman Taylor, who's demanding that I, you know, take that information.
Online.
But
I looked it up while we're sitting here.
Well, I did talk with someone at the Journal Sentinel company and ask Mark Liberta to discuss this with her and come up with a solution on what we could have. You know, you can be very forceful on your opinion. That's fine. And I don't.